everybody. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of TFG Radio, the bonus episode. I'm here with Nathaniel Goodfellow, who actually goes by Nate. He is the TO for the Dallas Open. Welcome to the show, Daniel. Nathaniel? Damn, what's that?
No problem. It's great to be here.
All right, Nate. Let's start off with, can you just go, for those that don't know, just tell us what the Dallas Open is.
The Dallas Open is a 40K GT and other tabletop gaming convention. We're on our third year, and we're hoping to hit 256 people and 7 rounds, so it'll be a 3-day Friday, Saturday, Sunday, May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Sheraton DFW. Excuse me. Ticket information is on the DallasOpen.org website.
And that's and there's still tickets available?
Oh, yeah, 256. We're going to be working hard to sell all of them.
Okay, I never know.
You know, I was hoping for a little faster, but that's why I'm here advertising today.
that's what we all have to do. So real quick, let's begin with you and basically how you got into 40K itself, or just gaming, in terms of your history with that.
So gaming, I saw the models as a kid in the comic store, and I was excited about them, but, you know, if your dad doesn't play, convincing your parents to buy all those models isn't going to go well.
Right.
So I got the Bretonian Lizardman starter set as a kid, actually. I spent an entire time painting it. My dad beat me because of the way the rules worked. We played once. I never touched fantasy again. And then when I moved back to Texas from Minnesota, my buddy said, hey, we started playing 40K. And I was like, what armies are there? And he's like, I named a few off. He said Space Vikings. And so in 7th edition, I started Space Wolves.
Okay. So how old were you when you came back? Was it after college or?
Oh, this was after the military, early 7th.
Okay.
I don't like to think how old I was. I don't count that anymore.
But your dad beat the fantasy side out of you, basically.
Oh, he did. He did badly. He even called up the store asking for a ruling.
Oh, wow.
Well, we didn't. The unit, I put all my skink archers into one unit. The unit broke to his Bretonian knights, so he overran them when they were running. So all 30 of them died.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Instantly.
That's what they used to do.
Bad child tactics.
I'm sure it made your dad proud.
Oh, he loves to beat me at anything he can.
What armies do you play in 40K?
I play only one army, so I feel like I'm a lot healthier of a habit. I play the Imperium of Man.
Oh my god, okay.
Mostly it's Space Marines. I've started a tricolored camo pattern so that when I switch around like a dirty tournament player, nobody gets mad.
That's the way to do it, yes.
Yeah. And that way, you know, you don't have these bright yellow guys hiding in a building. Like, what are you guys doing? I can still see you.
More importantly, I don't have salamanders that are playing as Iron Hands.
Exactly. Like, there's no preconceived notions. You don't stop and think, oh, I thought they were Ultramarines because they were blue, and I yes. totally screwed up now.
Yeah. They don't have that. They don't have that out.
Yeah.
So you're just exclusive Space Marines? You don't play Guard or anything?
I've got some Guard and some Knights. When Space Marines were terrible, I needed a new option.
Right. Which is why I
needed a new option when 8th came out, because Space Wolves are still...
All you gotta do is wait about a few more weeks. So
you know, I hear that, and my hopes are not high. I saw what they did the first go around.
Yeah, I don't think it's not gonna be Iron Hands good. Nothing has.
No, but even like you make us better at the stuff you were good at in 8th. That's not a good place to be.
Right.
More psychic, more shooting for Space Wolves. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we still have to see how they turn out. But if Grey Knights turn out to be much better than, you know, I can't see Space Wolves being that much worse.
No, like, and I played a buddy of mine who's a huge Grey Knights player, and he threw out his first list. And we got a game in, and they hit hard.
Right.
They hit like a truck now. The problem is they still fall right off the board unless you're doing that Terminator trick, and then you've got so few units that you can win, but it's definitely going to be an uphill road.
Yeah, our gaming group went from 0 to 70 in terms of number of Grey Knight players all of a sudden.
Thankfully, we don't have that many Grey Knight armies in closets here, so I haven't seen it quite yet.
Yeah. Well, it's not a large army to build, so it's almost like custodes.
We all just finished building regular Space Marine armies.
Yeah. So, do you have any inclination to play any other armies? Non-Imperium armies?
Non-Imperium armies? I mean, there's just so many, though.
True.
My buddy plays Gene Storkolt and Tyranids, so I have no interest in that. I'm not a big tech robot thing, so Tau are kind of out.
Okay.
If I did something with the orcs, but then I hate horde armies. I played my buddy's orc army once, and I was halfway through deployment, and I was tired, and I was sweating, and I was like, is this over yet? And I'm like, no, we haven't even started. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know how, I used to play like...
90 more boys to go.
Yeah, I used to play horde armies, and it's a tough sell nowadays.
I saw the guy at Nova, he ran nothing but grots and mech guns. And he spent the entire in between each round resetting up his little push cart with all his models.
Right.
I'm just like, I don't want to be here all day moving these models.
Right. Yeah. No, that's, you have to really be quick with
those. You have to love
movement.
That army.
Yeah. A lot of the longstanding orc players do love
I mean,
the
I love orcs and I love orc players. I'm not going to count it among them.
No, I get it. Trust me.
You know what? Also, the Harlequins, if they bring the solitaire rule back, so I can take three of them.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah. No, that'd be pretty cool. I've been playing for a long time, so for me, I've gone through almost all the armies except for some of the newer ones.
Yeah. We do mostly, like, if I want to try something, I'll just talk to a friend of mine. I'd rather build up my chapter and borrow models if I have that itch to play something else.
Right, yeah. That's the benefit of being in a club or on a team.
Oh, yeah. We have everything. We have people to tell you what to do and not do against their own armies when you're playing against someone else from another region or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they provide for a lot of practice.
Yeah.
Also, just so people know, I know the Dallas Open is part of, like, a Texas championship.
The Texas Championship Circuit, yeah. We are the starting event.
Okay.
For anyone that's nearby in the Texas area that wants to go to a lot of GTs, it's a great system. There's going to be five events, Dallas Open, Alamo, Warzone Houston, the War Games Con, and Sidewinder in El Paso. We basically take your best three scores from any of those five events.
Mm-hmm.
We determine your team placing, your solo placing, your faction rating, and we're going to give a award out for all of those, except this year, instead of just saying, you had three first-place finishes, here's your prize. We're going to do a invitational event, probably in Austin, because it's in the middle ground, and it'll be eight people, either single or double elimination, and they pair off from there. First will play eighth, first round, second will play seventh, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
That way they can't give any excuses like, oh, well, you got all those easy matchups at Dallas.
That does seem, for that format, it does seem ideal. From what I'm seeing, there seems to be a lot more regional focus, because I know they do the Lord Marshall in the Midwest.
Yeah, regional focus is great, because it's the people you see all the time.
Yeah.
So your name's getting diluted in the ITC rankings is like, eh. But when you can honestly say, like, hey, I outplayed you at these events, and I did the best in our area specifically.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it. Like, we have the best team award in Texas is a power sword that's on a wooden plaque.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever that moves locations, there's a lot of shit talking.
Nice. I can imagine.
Yeah,
there's, I know there's the Lord Marshall. I think there's the Mag series in the north, like Chicago area.
I haven't heard of that.
It's Mid-America game. I think it's Mid-America gaming series or game series, something
there's
like
one
that.
One in the South. I know that.
There's what?
There's one in the South, like in, Georgia area.
In the South, it looks like they're more state-related. Like, there's the Louisiana State Champions.
Yeah, which is weird, because they didn't even have a GT event last year. Like, I guess they were just doing RTTs.
They include RTTs. The Lord Marshall series is run more like ITC, but just in a certain area.
Yeah.
And in our, where I live in our area in California, we're just starting a, what we're calling the War Master series, and that's more at more like the Lord Marshall, where it's a number of RTT. It's basically three RTTs and a GT, kind of like the RTC.
Yeah, you're doing a lot smaller scale than the whole state of Texas then, so it's not as bad. It's, RTTs can count for that.
Yeah, well, it includes much more than California, but I just we decided to do RTTs just because it's the first year.
That makes sense.
And just to get people playing, because we have BAO, SoCal, and LVO, and not a lot of people, even though they're in our area, it's still not a lot of people can compete in those.
Yeah. So that's also, you're dealing with a very diluted, like, you know, it's a diluted event. Like, the Alamo is going to be 80% Texans, so.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Our
800 people this year and from all over the world?
Well, luckily for our series, we're not including those because of that. But it's really to promote the GTs, because there's a lot of small GTs in the area. So
that's good. If I asked my player base if they wanted to not count Dallas because we're trying to be so big, they would tell me that all those foreigners can bring it. So I'm not even going to bother asking them about that.
Oh right, yeah. So speaking of that. For the Dallas Open, how did you? So you started playing 7th edition. How did you get into judging in general?
When Bruce Berger started setting up the event, he asked for volunteers and a team, and I didn't learn my lesson in the military, and I raised my hand. And 3 years later, here I am talking to you, telling people to come to the event.
That's usually the lesson you learn in school, also.
Yeah, you know, I just kept raising my hand. It did not work out well.
Yeah, it's not.
But I love it. I mean, you get to go to the community. Like I've seen firsthand some of the best results 8th has brought compared to 40K and 40K as a whole. Like the number of people we have coming to RTTs and asking to play and learning to play competitively is just expanded so much faster now that 8th has come out.
Yeah, and that's also shown in just the number of GTs.
Yeah, number of GTs. How many people we have, new people, because for a while our RTTs were the same 10 guys, like, getting together every other weekend. It's like, I guess we'll have an RTT. Mm-hmm. John's going to beat Joe, Bill's beating Carl, Dave and Sam are playing for the final.
Yeah, I remember those days. So you just volunteered for the Dallas Open. Had you ever judged in anything else before?
I had done some of our RTTs locally.
Okay.
But when I made a point when 8th came out that I sat down with that rule book and I studied it hard because I didn't want to be like I was in 7th trying to catch up with a convoluted rule system.
Yeah, 7th was a bit
not understanding. I was like, look, if we're all starting the tradition right now, I can know this.
Yeah.
So I won't get caught with my pants down, so I will know the rules. And I figured if I'm knowing this well, I might as well help judge.
But did you
out of it.
Did you do anything outside before volunteering to judge? Did you do anything outside?
Like I said, just RTTs.
No, but outside of gaming.
Oh, outside of gaming, volunteering for.
Like I did, like I used to I referee soccer.
Well, I ref soccer, but that was like the age I stopped doing that. All I had was the kindergartners. So that was just telling Billy if you walk back into the goal with the ball in your hands, you score for your team.
Okay, When I stopped, I was doing high school, so that's a bit different.
Yeah. No, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
The kids I was dealing with so much.
That's just like with players, they think they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're not shy of telling you that they know what they're doing, but they don't really know what they're doing.
I've had the same moments a lot of them have. You know, they just, you play something so long, you just, you know, you morph it to one thing, all of a sudden you're just dead set that that's what it does.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. You get a lot of that, especially when you switch editions.
Yeah, you switch. Oh my gosh, how many of the old players I've had that like keep trying to consolidate all their units at the end of the combat?
Yes, that's a big one. That still happens, and I still do it sometimes.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And a lot of players that didn't start in 8th do it.
Well, because they saw the other guys do it.
Right.
Monkey see, monkey do effect.
Yeah.
It's just. Things, but you know, as long as they, you know, as your players know to talk to each other, that's what I always tell people. I'm like, tell someone everything you're doing. Just be vocal about what you're doing, even if you're talking to yourself. Your opponent will now know what you meant, what you're thinking of doing.
Right. Yeah, I played. I've played against and seen a lot of players that that literally just talk out loud, like you just said. Even if it's just talking to themselves, it's a good practice. Yeah. So you basically just read the book to get started.
Over and over again, and I played game after game of 8th edition.
Do you have
asked a million questions? Bought me half the codexes, if not more.
What do you think helped you as a judge the most?
The military, easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I can lead Marines, I think I can handle toy model players.
I think. Go ahead.
Plus half the Texas probably has 1/3 of the guys that play are veterans too, so it's a close knit group of guys that listen to each other pretty well.
Yeah. Well, now
I think if I had run off and judged in some place that I didn't know everyone, it would have been a lot harder.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think since a lot, especially since we've been in a continuous active military, that there's a lot of former military that play the game.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
It's a great outfit.
I think to be a judge for almost anybody, there's usually has to be some form of authority. Like I said, I did referee for high school, club, different aspects, AYSO, kindergarten, little kids, all ages, adult leagues. I know other people are teachers, which all that authoritarian figure is something that I think helps judges, especially if you want to be, in my opinion, if you want to be a good judge.
Yeah. And I think that you just got to be careful it's not something that's overly hardcore, because there's no need to be yelling at the people. The classic, tell all my add-on, helpware judges, and the only thing you should really ask is what does the rule say?
Yeah.
I'll put all the major questions in a FAQ. If that doesn't cover it, come get me, because that'll get 99% of them.
Right. No, that makes sense. How many judges do you have total for the event?
Seven.
And you're the head judge?
Yes. We've got a couple veterans that just don't play as much as they used to, that know how to run events and have been keeping up with the rules. Another guy, this is my friend Surratt, who's really good with the rules, and more importantly, he's better with machines and computers for when we set up our PCP backup.
There's always
one. It's hard to back up.
Right. I wonder why.
It's not going to be me. I'm telling you that. I'll break the computer.
Yeah, you always need one.
Yeah. And then one of the guys, a friend of ours from Pennsylvania, is going to be flying in. He plays competitively a lot. He just wants to come help and support us. He's a good friend of Bruce's. So.
Okay.
We are going to be running custom missions that I'm testing out right now, actually.
Oh, okay, so you're not running regular ITC missions.
No, and I think I'm a little bummed because, Frontline Gaming just announced that they're doing, they're updating the missions. So the excitement of new missions isn't really as appealing to everyone, ITC missions get revamped right before our event.
Well, you were planning to use custom missions before, right?
Oh, we were planning to do it well before, yeah.
Yeah.
So instead, it's very similar. Secondaries are going to be built into each mission, so it's a wide variety of things you need to look out for.
Okay.
The pack will be up shortly. You're going to need a well-rounded list. You can't just spam one unit and win.
Right.
The basic four is still there, hold more, kill, but instead of kill more, it's going to be kill on an objective, because we're really trying to focus a little more towards the objective game.
Right.
And I don't want to penalize people for taking a lot of units.
Okay.
I don't, there's armies that just play that way, and I don't like them losing out on that point.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. And like ITC's always said, you can play, do whatever you want. The ITC missions are just suggestions if you're, for me, lazy.
Oh yeah, but I told Reese in one of the in something, I was like, I just wish you'd tell people that more, because the number of people that come up to me and are like, well, Frontline Gaming did it this way, well, this event did it this way, I'm like, that's great.
I mean, he literally says it almost every episode or every time we talk about it.
He just told it twice apparently, because they don't listen.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
To be honest, I think it's more or less laziness.
If they see that, that's the standard, that's the way we want to play.
Right, and they don't want to change it because people get weirded out with change. Why is this different? They do it this way. But they said you can do whatever they want. Yeah, but,
I mean, as long as we're all playing the core rule book the same, I don't think,
Yeah.
terrain interpretation, you want to throw some magic boxes down, throw some magic boxes down. I don't really care.
I know. A lot of times I rarely see magic boxes at other events. There's not too many. And even at LVO, there's not a lot.
It wasn't bad, but I got magic boxes against Knights and Tau, and I felt awful my opponent summoning my Life Scars to look into trees, just going from place to place unseen and charging with instance. I was just like, I'm sorry, but they're here. I'm going to use them.
Sorry, not sorry.
I didn't build the table.
What's your either your best story or favorite aspect about judging?
I think my favorite aspect of judging was actually before I started judging. I played one of the judges from WarGamesCon in the Alamo. Mm-hmm. And it was my first big event. I think it's like my eighth game ever. And it's 7th edition, so it's a terrible edition.
Yes.
And we're debating how the charge phase works.
Oh, good God.
And I'm nervous. Like I said, I'm still new to the tournament scene. This guy's been around for, he's an older guy. He's been experienced. He's been playing for ages. He says it this way, but I know we've been playing it that way. And so we just shook hands. We went into our, called for a judge, got the ruling, played according to the ruling, shook hands, and got it back down to the game. I think that's what I want to be able to get players to, is trying to get those rulings and teach people that, just because the ruling wasn't in your favor, that you keep playing and have a good time.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of judges that just come over and they're like, oh, it's this way. What are you thinking? Or, I don't want to see that ever.
Yeah, we've had in the past for LVO, or at least this past year, there have been a couple instances where one of the judges would, I say talk too much with the player.
And then you say it's a fine line, because you talk too much, you're wasting their time.
Well, it's not even that. Sometimes the player will think they have an in and will be able to convince you to change your mind, because that's what they really want.
No, yeah. I told my own team, I was like, don't make me come over, because if it's close, I'm giving to the other guy. I can't, I don't want to risk them thinking that I'm showing favoritism, so if it's close, I'm probably going to roll against my own team. It's just the cold hard facts. We'll have someone else come and judge.
Yeah, there's a lot of I had an instance where I told the guy, because he kept on arguing a call, I was like, I'm just going to walk away if you keep talking. And he kept talking, so I just turned around and walked away.
We've only had to card one person, and it was just because he got argumentative with me, and I was listening to him, but my another judge could hear him across the room.
Oh yeah, that's.
So we went ahead, and he came over, and he just went ahead and carded him for arguing with the ref. It wasn't even, he's arguing with me, but the other guy cards him. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm not arguing with him. He's being loud.
Yeah, we had a few of those. We had a red card to one person.
The LVO judges were really good. I mean, they caught the fact that the Thunderfire cannons I borrowed from a friend of mine didn't have the backs on them.
Yeah.
And so they told me the first game, like, hey, you have to pretend they're there. I'm like, okay, so I move around my little backfield, go to the next game, I set up the pretending they're there, and they come by and check, and he checked me 3 out of 5 games. So that's the time they come by, just look at my backfield, like, you setting up properly?
Oh, God. Did he have suspenders? I think I know who it was.
Oh, I don't remember if he had suspenders or not. I know it wasn't John.
No, it wasn't John. John wasn't really. One of our judges did have the actual model, was walking around with it.
Was he?
Yeah, so it must have not been that one, maybe. Well, no.
Well, one of the ones I had did have it, so that kind of helped. So I could, use it as an eyeball of, okay, it's a year.
It's only, an inch in the back, but it can make a big difference when you're setting them up right next to each other.
Really, the Tech Marine can still be,
Yes.
Back, because he can fit in between the legs.
Right.
You know, every man's favorite position.
But it's when you put the Thunderfire cannon butt up against each other.
Start making a choo-choo train at them, they don't like that.
It becomes kind of an issue, and that's really what we were looking for. And it wasn't really that much of a deal.
Yeah, and it's not a big deal. It's I try to relax on that stuff. I've seen guys that they have their Cromlech model or their third party from somewhere else. They don't even remind. They don't even think to email you about it anymore.
Oh yeah, trust me.
Had it for 6 years. Everyone's always said yes. I just bring it.
Yeah. And people act surprised that we had that policy for LVO, but we've had that policy for the last 3 or 4 years. The policy hasn't changed.
Yeah.
In regards to proxies and conversions, so it just so happens that that unit and the Chaplain Dread unit were just so prevalent in the list this year that we felt that we had to put that extra warning out, because we knew a lot of people were going to bring iffy stuff.
Now, I just want to ask you, while you're just, you, so you judge WO.
Yes.
Do you, have you seen the Ultramarines Venerable Dreadnought?
You mean someone bringing that or just that model in general?
Ultramarines Venerable Dreadnought.
I have not seen one in person, but I know which one you're talking about.
Because that one has kind of the wing things on the sides. The only thing it doesn't have is the skulls everywhere, right?
Right.
Would that have flown?
Does it have the Ultramarine symbols on it? I mean, if they file the symbols off, then...
Would never think about the code symbol, all right? I have my standard.
If someone were to show me that, and I didn't know any better, and the Ultramarine symbol were filed off, then I would allow it, probably.
Like, I would have painted the wings and stuff, but my buddy who was taking them, he was like, no, I can't trust that, and he found someone who did have some last minute, but it was ended up being fine, but I was just curious, because I told him it would have been fine, but he didn't trust me. Which is good. You shouldn't trust me. I'm a terrible judge.
It depends. This is just the...
I mean, this is just all hypothetical. Don't bring fake models to dolls up and face them.
It's usually safer just to send... It's just a quick email. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and I think what I'm going to do is I'll have a separate line for check-in, and I'm going to give when everyone's badges, we're going to get some stickers, and that way, like, if you have conversions or third-party models, I'm going to put a sticker on your badge so that your opponents know that we saw them, we're okay with them.
Oh, that's actually a good idea. We're going to steal that, just FYI.
That's fine. What if other events use it, I still win. Because now I get to go to those events, and I'm like, oh, okay, your proxies were approved. Good.
Yeah, we're going to put a stamp on the forehead.
Ooh, I like it. But my team has this hat you have to wear if you're in bottom place. It's going to cover up my stamp.
Still, well. So, is there
A few things I will say is Art of War, I'm working with them. I'm hoping that they're going to do a missions review for us.
Okay.
So people interested about the missions and they're not sure what to think, you know, well, I've never played these, what do I do? Hopefully they're going to get out a video well before you need to decide if you want to come or not. And then you'll have their word, not just me and my local players, saying yes, they're fun missions to try out. Because, of course, we're going to say yes. I've used them for two events now that were a little smaller and more local, so they've already accustomed to them.
Well, it's also good just to have them out just so people know how to play those missions or how they're supposed to be played. Because a lot of times you'll get missions, maybe the Adepticon missions, that are kind of weird and not you're not used to missions like that anymore unless you played fifth edition. So I've played fifth edition, so those Adepticon missions I've seen those similar to like that before.
Yeah. I've heard Adepticon is a little fluffier of a GT.
Yes.
Just because of the missions, and that's fine. I went to Nova Novio this year. I don't have any problem with the Nova missions. Other than Tower 1, I have no problem with the ITC missions.
But I think it's a good thing for TOs and judges if they have custom missions to either put out a video or to have someone view it just so they can show people how they're supposed to be played so they don't get it wrong, you know, at the event.
Yeah, like I said, I'll have it up. The score sheet isn't any color-coded. Things you score in the turn, things you score in the round, things you score in the game. I'd put it up now, but I'm a terrible artist, and our deployment zones look awful. Because I literally sit on top of a table, I would tape out the deployment zones and put little arrows in with word art, and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. We're going to find someone that doesn't break computers to finish those up. We're going to get the review up, and then they're going to be on the website, dallasopen.org, so that you can look at the missions and decide if this is something that I try or not.
Yeah.
And I think it's good because it'll break up the list you take. If you always go to ITC events, you're always going to take the same list because that's the list you know that works. But branching out into something new is going to keep the hobby fresh for you and keep you enjoying it for a lot longer.
Yeah, it's important to do that. And like you said, it's hard to get people out of that official, it's got to be official kind of mindset.
Yeah. Everyone wants to play Union. No one wants to play Sevens.
Yes. Any advice or warnings for players that are going to maybe their first, if this is going to be their first major event?
First major event, if you're over 21, take a shot before your first game. Take a shot with your friends. get a drink in, smile and laugh. I always tell new players, just start laughing whenever things go bad or great. Your dice roll all sixes, laugh. Your dice roll all ones, laugh. Because there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Just smile and keep playing, talk it out, you'll have a good time. If anyone in that you play a text and then they're being mean to you, let me know, and I'll yell at them. That's actually true, I love.
Yeah, I know a few players that laugh whether it's good or bad die rolls.
I went 0-5 at WarGamesCon this year.
Oh yeah.
My first two games was all terrible dice. The third one, I just had a bad game. And so then my fourth and fifth round opponents, the fourth one I gave him a little advice and lost. And then the fifth one, he was just coming back to the game and I was like, going 1-4 does nothing for me. So I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what to do. We're going to just, this will be a practice game.
Or like a learning game.
Learning game, yeah. So then I told him how to beat me.
Oh, nice.
And I still got an award because I was going for best sport at that point. So my teammates yelled at me, like, you went 0-5. I was like, I got an award, did you?
That's one way to put it. We had a teammate 1 year at LVO who the prize was a chainsword with like shark teeth or whatever for the
yeah.
blade. And he was trying to win, but he was 0-3 at the end of day one, so he just went for the wooden spoon for day two, and he actually got it. So
yeah, I was upset John Cook didn't have a wooden spoon for me. I really worked hard for that. I will say we aren't giving out a chainsword. We're trying something new this year. So what army are you playing right now?
Right now I'm building a sister's army.
Okay.
Chaos.
Okay, chaos. So like just pure random chaos. What's your favorite legion?
Black Legion.
So let's say you bring Black Legion mixed chaos mm-hmm. and you win. You give us, we're going to take a picture of you, picture of your Chaos Lord, Warlord, and we're going to send those to an artist and we're going to make a painting of you as your Chaos Lord.
Oh, nice.
That's going to be the first prize. We're going back and doing it
for
the 1-2 winners so that we're going to start a hall of heroes. And the artist was very confused when we sent one because one of them is a Demon Prince of Nurgle. And she's like, I don't know what to do with this. And I'm like, just make it look disgusting. Like, he has the bubonic plague. She's like, oh, okay.
Right. That's funny.
The other guys, Chaos, Thousand Sons. So we really need some Imperium on that one, now that I think about it.
Uh-oh.
It's not looking good for us.
Let's call out to all those Imperial players.
You know, I'm worried it'll be someone, you know, in black armor with a silver hand on his shoulder, but I'll take what I can get at this point.
Do you play any other game systems other than 40K or GW?
So, I've played Blood Bowl.
Okay, how'd you like that?
I love Blood Bowl. If I had more time, I'd play more games, but
yeah.
Organizing this stuff is pretty much my second game.
Yeah, I used to play all the time because I played Blood. It was one of the first games outside of the Grimdark that I played, and I love playing the game.
I used to play Necromunda weekly, but like I said, I just ran out of time with that group. They're great guys that play locally here. And then we got the Arena Rex game. That was
okay.
the
Kickstarter.
LVM. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They were there. The models were beautiful. They had the arena.
Yes.
We bought them. We gave them to our buddy because he paints stuff beautifully. That we're like, look, if we decide we don't like it, we'll sell a whole starter set with two full armies that looks beautiful, and we'll probably make our money back.
Yeah. I remember.
But we're gonna try that one out in the house.
I remember getting in on the Kickstarter, but they took too long to get the stuff out. I forgot all about it.
You know, I've heard of people get like stuff 2 years later. Like, I forgot I kickstarted this.
I got it like 2 years later and then ended up just selling it because I lost interest.
Yeah, that's what happens.
It's one of the traps of, you know, Kickstarter, but.
Kickstarter's a dangerous thing.
The game seems fun.
I'm going to get that colored D&D minis ready for me.
Oh, yeah.
We had a D&D group.
Did you try any? So you play D&D also or used to?
Well, I play Deadlands.
Okay.
It's Wasted West type of D&D, but you use cards, poker chips, dice, use all three combined.
Okay.
The record we've had is one player died in the first 10 minutes. So you don't fall in love with your character until you get like 8 missions in.
Okay.
But it's a great system if you want to try to find the old books. The new D20 system isn't nearly as fun.
Okay, so you play the like the original, the first edition system?
Yeah, the original has the cards and all the dice types molded in together a lot more. Like, D20s are literally just used for dynamite.
Yeah, I don't even think they've done a recent edition of Deadlands.
Mm-mm. But if anyone's looking for a old RPG to look into that's different and fun, I recommend that every time.
But nothing else, nothing like BattleTech or any other sci-fi.
No, you know, if you've seen my apartment, I literally moved in with a guy who plays on my team. Mm-hmm. Our dining room table is a 40K table.
Oh, okay.
Our bookshelf is rule books and terrain. We play 40K.
And that's all you do. Yeah, I found it's doing all this with LVO, because LVO is more or less, and probably for you too, it's like a year-round thing at this point.
Yeah, I was talking to another Paul Murphy about this, and he's like, that's a big jump. How do you know that Terrain's going to be done? It's like, because I'm doing it all myself.
Yeah.
I've got one assistant, 60 tables, here we go.
Right, yeah. That sounds about right.
Those look way better than mine, so stop working so hard.
I don't even work on that part. Ours is year-round, just having to deal with like the rules and the missions and other things that come up for LVO. You know,
as soon as you run like a major GT, it becomes a lot more than you would think it would.
It becomes like a second job, yes.
We were trying to find an ITC rep for Texas, and all the Texas TOs talk to each other, and we're all like, we need a Texas rep. But we're all abstaining because we're really busy with our GTs. So we need to find someone else.
It's actually not, because I'm also the rep for California. It's not that, there's 3 of us actually, but it's not that busy for us, but I mean, for you guys it might be different, especially if there's only one person doing it.
I think we found a guy. He should be ready. I think he's getting in the system now. Okay. He's going to have 2 or 3 backups. We're going to be fine this year.
Yeah. It's just going through all that stuff.
Yeah, it's just because I keep looking and I'm like, we don't have one. How do we not have one?
We're Texas. We should have like more than one.
At least, yeah. Because I offered one guy the job and he's like, wait, all of Texas? And I'm like, yeah, it's only like 11 RTTs a month. You know?
Yeah.
6 majors, 2 team events. It's nothing.
Yeah, I know Texas has the second highest number of events.
Do we? Who's beating us?
California.
Oh, that's not for long. I got you.
Well, I don't know. Because California was the center of ITC, so.
Oh, yeah. Give me another couple of years and, like, 4 more assistants.
Just in Southern California, where I live, there's an RTT, like, every weekend and a GT, like, every month.
We've got RTTs every 3 weeks out of the month in DFW now.
Yeah.
I would do 4, but I'm trying to like space them out location wise, and there's like 1/4 of the Metroplex that just doesn't have stores.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think like Texas, we have a lot of stores in the area, at least for Southern California, so.
Yeah, ours is weird. The like actual Dallas itself and like the southeastern corner of the Metroplex has nothing, but Northeast, Northwest, Southwest all have plenty of stores for people to go to.
Okay, yeah. That's always helpful in terms of just getting people playing. Hopefully you get – because we have 3, but I think 2 of us are really active. And for you guys, I think you need at least 3, probably 4 with the number of events. But
Our RTC reps now, we'll just beat this one until it quits and cries. It's fine. We'll call him a baby.
He'll manage.
Yeah. Now, the guys who are volunteering to be his assistants are the guys that were going to do it if he didn't, so I think we'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
And the TOs are more than willing to help with whatever they can, so it's not like we're just throwing stuff at them directly. It's more we need a direct mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Because that's the way the system was set.
Yeah, so you started out with Dallas Open from the beginning, correct?
Yes, I did.
So what What were some of the challenges you had starting out for like that first year?
So, I think terrain is really the big one. Because trying to build mass terrain cost efficiently, we didn't take a lot of like research steps in the first year. We just kind of like, let's do this.
Okay.
And we had some terrible ideas. And I will tell you that first year's 40 tables probably cost us more than this year's 60 tables will.
Oh, wow.
It's just little things that we've learned. The narrative guys, I don't know if you've heard of any of them, they do.
Yeah.
They're actually local to here too. So now I harass them all the time. I'm like, what do you think of this? What do I need to do this? Because their terrain is beautiful.
Yes.
And it makes me feel bad, but they're like, we only build like two a year. You have to build like 30. I'm like, yes.
just multiply that by 16.
I'm like, I built trees last year, and everyone's like, well, it would have looked better with one more tree. I'm like, one more tree is actually 80 more trees, because then I need one on the other side. And then there's 20 more, or no, 19 more tables with this, so every tree is 40 trees.
Oh, my God.
And what happened round one? They all took the trees off.
Well, yeah, nobody. There's no trees in the far, far future.
I wanted to just print a picture and just paste it on there, and they're like, "No, we want 3D terrain."
Oh yeah, we're not doing War Machine.
Yeah, no, War Machine ruined my 2D tree plan, and I'm really upset about that.
Yes. When I first saw that, because I tried War Machine every mark, and when Hordes came out, I tried War Machine. I just couldn't do it. And then when I saw that they switched from actual terrain to the flat, the 2D terrain, I was like, I'm never going to try it again. It's just something, I don't know if it's just being a wargamer in general.
I think they're just not pretty.
No.
The bottom line is the models aren't as pretty. You want to see the terrain. Like the people that are doing the look through your phone and see all the stuff here.
Yeah.
That's awesome, but if I wanted that, I would just download a game and play on my computer.
Yeah, I think once you start using GW models, especially the plastic, it's hard to go to other game systems.
Oh my gosh, I built like my first Infiltrator Squad. Mm-hmm. You got the guy who's like quickly switching from his rifle to his pistol, and the guy throwing the grenade. I'm like, these are an amazing set. And of course, the grenades are gone now because I've played with them twice. And someone's like, you forgot this piece. I'm like, no, I'm not starting that game and gluing that back on every other game.
Yeah.
It's lost to me. You figure the game is all it is.
Yeah. I mean, I still play other game systems once in a while, but even their models, I'm not playing any game that has metal models. Never. Never again. I'm not going back.
Oh my gosh. My case would be too heavy.
Have you ever tried putting together metal models?
Yeah. Once.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. And I was like, nah. It was a lot easier this time around with the plastic.
Exactly. I actually have a Flames of War army I'm building, but I'm only building it because it's in plastic now. It used to be metal and resin, and now no. I tried it once, and I'm like, no. If they ever do plastic,
but those ones aren't. Isn't Flames of War the tiny one?
It's 15 millimeter World War II.
Yeah,
and it's that size because they're trying to push the tank battles more.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want a lot of tanks. It's easier to do that.
Locally, I call it the air tank game.
Yes, I remember that game.
Because half of our players that are playing it on the Sundays carry an air tank with them.
They tell you
that the mission is wrong because that's not how the battle went.
Oh, yeah, we don't have those guys. Our guys at our store are the ones that play in, like, the Masters at InfoWorlds or whatever.
Okay. No, these guys are the ones that live the battles.
Yes, that have firsthand experience. Well, when I fired that gun at that Panzer back in 42, you have those guys. No, we have the guys that go to the championships back east or whatever.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. But none of my guys are like, no, an M1 will do way more damage than that.
Yeah. So yeah, we have the competitive guys. You have the fluffy guys. You have the casuals.
I mean, they'd be competitive if they'd remember. They can't remember the rules at this point.
No, and I only play it.
If they somehow listen to this, I love you all.
They won't. They have to learn how to use a phone.
That's true. It's awful.
It's
I
awful,
do respect
but it's
the
true.
Elderly.
And we're getting closer to that every year. No, but I just started only because they have most of the armies are in plastic now, or the tanks anyway, and they're easy to build because there's not many components to it. But there's
I mean, how many components you have when the model's small enough to be one print of its own anyways?
Yeah. But like I said, once you put together GW models, or just look at the models, you don't even have to put them together. They're just so much better than anything else out there. It's hard to play anything else.
And if they put their paint dropper bottles, they'd get all my money.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we have talked about every subject that we can.
Though my last question, though, would be any advice for someone that wants to start out as a judge or TO?
Talk to people that have done it. Talk to people before you take any steps. Reach out to another TO. Preferably one that runs they're 2 or 3 years in, they've built the terrain, they've run the events, they've seen things that can go wrong. Plan for BCP to fail. It's a good app, it's not a perfect app. Mm-hmm. Home Depot is your friend. Yes, you can buy beautiful hobby model terrain stuff at the terrain store. But you can make some amazing things with PVC pipe, and that's $2 for 10 feet.
All right. I think that's enough for tonight. Do you want to give the info to get to the Dallas Open once again real quick?
Yeah, it's dallasopen.org. It'll be at the Sheraton DFW. There is a shuttle to that hotel from the airport. So if you're coming in, you do not have to rent a car. You can get straight to the hotel. And you can stop by one of the days. If you get there early on Friday or get done early on Friday, you can go see the Citadel, GW's flagship shop in the U.S.,
Nice. All right.
It's a beautiful place to see.
All right. Well, thank you once again for joining us tonight, Nate.
No, thank you. You have a great night, man.
And you too. Again, thank you, everybody, for listening. Good night, everyone, and have a pleasant tomorrow.